This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Tuesday, it is the start of football season. For those of you that are into this sort of thing with preseason, tonight the Cardinals are scheduled to play in Canton, Ohio against Dallas Cowboys. Eric, is there some weather concerns around this game? Is that what you're...
There are. Yeah. There's about a 70 to 75% chance of rain.
Yeah, which is fine. Football in the rain.
Yeah, and they have a new field, I guess, out there, or new within the last couple of years, so hopefully it drains well. But the bigger issue could be lightning.
Lightning. So if there's lightning, they would cancel the game.
Let's hope so.
They'd have to cancel it. Let's hope so.
Let's just hope so.
We're not going to play tonight.
We
just don't care.
It's a fine event, but I don't know about the Cowboys. The Cardinals aren't playing any of their starters.
Yeah.
Or the backup
quarterback.
Yeah, and they've had this extra time in camp. So if you don't have to play, then don't play it.
Don't play. We're gonna have Jude LaCava from Canton. Jude is back there for the Kurt Warner ceremony on Saturday. So Jude's going to check in with us. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk with Jude LaCava, Fox 10 sports director, longtime in the Valley. We'll have Goody at the movies today. So Goody, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central, he has his weekly segment. He's going to critique The Dark Tower, The Midwife, Some Freaks in Detroit. And I saw where they're remaking Death Wish, which was a great movie with Charles Bronson back in the day. And I want to know exactly why and how. But anyways, Bill's going to be with us. We'll have some fun with Bill. Chairman of the board today, as always, Jared Nielsen. The assistant chairman of the board is Edwin Rodriguez today. So if anything gets screwed up, it's on Edwin. Eric, of course, here producing. We've got Jordan here today, and Haley is somewhere out there among many on our staff. All right, stories of the day. I'm along with the Cardinals-Cowboys game tonight, and Kurt Warner going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday. By the way, Eric, I'm amazed that you and I have been together all week and you have failed to work in LaDainian Tomlinson at least once. Those of you that have seen and heard Eric through the years know full well that any chance to work in LT is something that you do. What's going on here?
I've been reading up on it all week,
yeah.
But I've been kind of quietly behind the scenes just keeping my mouth shut.
You can't
I'm
wait.
I'm pretty excited.
You going to watch?
Yeah, I am going to watch.
More excited. Warner's announcement, Tomlinson's announcement.
Tomlinson's announcement.
Because?
Because he's a TCU alum, and I'm a TCU alum. And I grew up a Charger fan. Because there were no Cardinals when I was
You're not a Charger fan anymore, right?
From a distance.
You're still going to follow them?
Pseudo followers, yes.
Like, I'm seeing stuff in San Diego where the media there is losing their minds because they have no football to cover.
I can imagine.
Two, they just love when Charger players get hurt because it's the curse of Dean Spanos. Someone is looking down on Dean Spanos evilly.
I think I told you this when I came back from my vacation to your hometown a few weeks ago,
yeah.
That you could not even tell that there was an NFL team in San Diego 7 months ago.
Right. No, I
mean,
that.
There are no billboards. No one has bumper stickers. No one's wearing Charger gear. It's like they didn't even exist.
No, it's not good. The other story in the NFL today is... So Ryan Tannehill had to leave practice with Miami yesterday, an apparent leg injury, some sort.
These are never good, Brad.
No.
These are never good.
It is, again, the workforce getting grinded into a pulp in August. So when it comes to regular season and an owner of a franchise is paying gobs of money to the guy who's on crutches, like, well, what happened to him? He got hurt. Really? When did he get hurt? Was it the regular season opener? No, he got hurt 5 weeks ago. Oh, what was he doing? Some non-contact drill. Why was my most valued possession and valued employee out on a practice field 5 weeks before we played again? Somebody please explain this to me.
Oh, and Jay Ajayi is coming off a concussion.
Not a concussion? Yeah, right.
Not good. Those are like you said, those are your featured, that's your starting quarterback and one of the best running backs in the NFL, and they're already hurt, and we haven't even played one preseason game
so
yet.
So the mockery of the NFL is what Bruce Arians is doing. I'm not going to play anybody. I'm not going to play any starters. We don't care if NBC is putting this game on TV. I'm sure NBC is just thrilled with the fact that they're going to have a rehearsal tonight. I think the last time, was it the Cincinnati? Was it the Cardinals had a game against Cincinnati last year, I want to say? There was an NBC game, And it sounded like Al and Chris were just on the golf course, like, what the heck are we doing here doing this stuff? So, and you know, the league tomorrow will send out a press release about how great the numbers are. It doesn't mean it's any good. It doesn't mean it's any good. People go by car crashes and slow down. It's not any good.
Seeing the Hall of Fame game tonight will bring back memories of the last time the Cardinals played in the Hall of Fame game. It was before you and I were together. It was the, we're all excited, we got Kevin Cobb.
Oh, wow.
And, well, I think he got, I think that was the first of his concussion issues started in the Hall of Fame game.
Of course. Perfect time.
Right.
I will watch tonight, not with like a pen and paper, not like sitting there glued, not going to be out with the dudes with hat backwards, pounding away my pitcher of beer. I'm not doing that tonight. This is just going to be, okay, who's that guy? And then like 4 months from now, oh, that guy's in the, he's with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on their, their free agent, you know, it's like, come on.
You'll watch it like you watch a Major League Baseball game. It'll be on, but you won't be glued to it.
No,
that's
true.
You'll be, I mean, kind of paying attention to it.
All right, so let's get on to this. But the thing on Tannehill is this. So you have Colin Kaepernick that's sitting out there. You have Jay Cutler, who's in the broadcast booth, who knows Adam Gase. You have Tony Romo, who just got out of the league and has taken this primo position as an analyst. And now you have a job that is, Miami's not bad, right? If Ryan Tannehill's gone for the year and you're the Dolphins, do you go sign Colin Kaepernick, or are you worried about the backlash, or has enough time passed, or is the backlash going to go for a few weeks, or are people in South Florida a little bit like, huh? Yeah, so he didn't stand for the anthem, huh? There are certain parts of our country where it's not that big of a deal. I do believe this. I do believe this. Doesn't mean that I'm in favor of what he's doing, but that was his right then. Does he change his stance and change his mind now? The facts are, Colin Kaepernick can play. It's no different than what happened here. Cardinals could have had Colin Kaepernick. They felt Blaine Gabbert was better suited for them. Colin Kaepernick in Arizona would have been a bad fit. There would have been bigger protests, big protests, in my opinion, had he come here. People want to think we're a progressive state, but we're just not. It's very conservative out here, whether you agree or disagree with his stance. So the Tannehill thing's interesting to me. Today, the college football poll came out, and this is the coaches' poll. I don't know how much the coaches really vote on this. I have a hard time believing that Nick Saban was sitting in his office, and he said, you know, I'm going to rank, how many teams are there? I'm going to rank 25 teams of what I've seen, and I'm going to do all of it. I have a hard time believing that Urban Meyer is sitting there putting out all the teams that he believes are going to be good or right down the list of programs. But it's fun to talk about. Alabama is number one in the coaches poll. Came out today. Now, that was a shock. The better news, though, is Florida State came in at number three. Alabama plays Florida State on Saturday, September 2nd. 1-3. That is what we want to get the college football season off and running. Not what we have with New Mexico State or things along those lines. I know you got to do scheduling, but please give me big-time matchups. Kind of like Florida and Michigan in week number one. That's what we want. That's what we look forward to. I mean, in the Pac-12, so the way it went, Alabama was one. Ohio State was two. Florida State was three. USC was four. USC opens with Western Michigan on September 2nd. I have no problem with having a cupcake somewhere on your schedule. I have no problem with that because the Pac-12 is a difficult conference. It's like Washington opens the season and the Huskies came in at number seven. Washington opens the season on the road at Rutgers. Why Rutgers? Perfect sense. You're going to take your brand and you're going to put it on the East Coast. You're going to go recruit kids in New Jersey. Very smart scheduling on the part of the University of Washington. Very smart.
And you're going to win that game. You're going to win it big.
Sure, you're going to win that game big, and you're going to be in the market, and you're going to want to recruit there. It's kind of like when I look at Arizona State scheduling New Mexico State and say, how many players from New Mexico really come here? You know, or when they play New Mexico, I get it, cost and expense. But you can't have too many, you can't have a bunch of those, and it's not going to start the season out where people get excited. These big time programs, man, they want to have those Alabama, Florida states. Ohio State opens up conference play on August 31st against Indiana. They should smoke Indiana, but Indiana was better last year. And it's a conference game right out of the gate. So it's important for the number two team in the country. You know, going down the poll, I'm looking for Arizona and I'm looking for Arizona State, and I don't see them. I'm looking at teams receiving votes. Arizona actually got two votes. Somebody voted U of A, two votes for others receiving votes. Let me just see here. Arizona State, Oregon got 37, others receiving votes. San Diego State, 18. Tulsa, Western Michigan, Temple. So the coaches poll, nobody gave Arizona State a vote, but U of A got two votes. Now, I know that U of A smacked ASU all over the field, just rubbed them into the ground last year and embarrassed them. You got to be kidding me. How is it that you have, how does that happen? But it's the fun of these polls. Utah came in number 25. Colorado did not get voted in, and Colorado had a great year last season. They've had some upheaval and turnover, though. Notre Dame did not get voted in the top 25, and I think that's a place where there's going to be a coaching change at the end of this year. You start looking around at these programs and say, okay, who's in trouble, or who better get it done? Texas A&M would have to be one of those programs you look at with Kevin Sumlin. And guess what? As I go up and down the coaches poll, Texas A&M, nowhere to be seen. Didn't even get a vote.
I saw something on Twitter that I found somewhat amusing and somewhat sad. Texas A&M and the University of Kansas have had the same amount of 10-win seasons in the past decade. Each has had one in football.
Don't you think Kevin Sumlin...
I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
Kansas has had as many 10-win seasons in this decade as Texas A&M has.
I'll just say this right now. If Arizona State makes a coaching change, Kevin Sumlin will be all over it because he's been out here quite a bit, from my understanding,
sure,
from Big Cigars, that he's in the same spot as Todd Graham. Yeah, they're both in the same spot. They don't win this year, they're gone. If they kind of win, they're gone. If they win big this year, they're both going to look to be gone. They're both going to say, you know, I got some other options. I think it's time for me to make a change and push reset on my own career. And Kevin Sumlin's been out here quite a bit, so I'm going to watch Texas A&M and watch them closely. All right, Jude LaCava's next from Canton, Ohio at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Good Eat the Movies later. Terry Pluto, fine columnist in Cleveland, wrote about Kyrie Irving today, and I'm going to bring up Terry because I respect the heck out of him, and what Terry Pluto writes usually follows through. So we'll have some news on that front around Kyrie Irving and the Suns. It was a very good night for the Diamondbacks last night, too. That's all straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We're brought to you in part by and very happy to have the people you're about to see in this next break support us, but in particular, our Valley Hyundai dealers. The Cardinals taking on the Dallas Cowboys, and it's our understanding that Jude LaCava is joining us now from Canton, where the Cardinals fly all the way back there and no starters are going to play. We hear there's lightning potentially in the area. Could this game be canceled? Let me just start with this in all seriousness. Could this game be canceled because of lightning tonight?
You know, I think if you put any credence in the fine weather casters out here in Northeast Ohio, and it's a rough place to forecast, Brad, the weather's supposed to come in tomorrow, late morning, heavy weather, heavy rain. So if we get a little lucky, there was a little lightning last night. I will tell you this, the renovated field to the tune of about $137 million is ready to go. I mean, it really is stunning. It seats about 23,000. They have a new turf down, the field turf. Tom Benson dedicated a ton of money to this project, and it really looks sharp. It looks like a mini NFL stadium. So weather permitting, I think they're going to be okay. I really do. But to be honest with you, the game almost takes a backdrop to the story of Kurt Warner.
Right.
I talked to Kurt briefly yesterday, and he was very humbled by all of this attention and what's about to happen this coming weekend and Saturday's enshrinement and induction speeches. But that to me is what we're really focused on is, you know, what will Brenda say? What will Kurt say?
Right.
How will he present his most unusual journey to Canton?
It's from what I've heard talking to players, I'm sure you've heard the same. It's not even about Saturday night. It's all the buildup to it. And it was on Sundays in the past where you've got this this dinner and this lunch and all these people just fawning all over you. That's it's overwhelming that when you finally get up on stage, you can almost let everything out. And I think the fact that Brenda's going to be up there, you and I have seen her through the years, and I'm more interested in what she's going to say because I'm pretty sure I'm going to hear, I know what Kurt's going to talk about. What about you?
Yeah, I think having Brenda as his presenter is special. And, you know, for those that don't know the story, and there's probably very few that don't, they lived in the basement of Brenda's parents, and he's at the grocery store. And, you know, he was all in, a man of tremendous faith, married Brenda, who was a single mom at the time, one of the youngsters, a special needs kid. It's just it's an unbelievable story, and no guarantee of any NFL opportunity or 3 years in arena ball. So, yeah, it's the emotion of that moment. And, you know, the one thing I'll say, because I've got a very good cousin that is from Canton, that this is a very unique experience in that it's a town of about 70,000 people. It's the biggest weekend of the year. The parades, the events, the festivities, this is the biggest event by far of the entire year for Canton. But it's the history here. You know, Right. Let's think about it. This is where the NFL was incorporated back in September of 1920. This is where Jim Thorpe played. I mean, if you love this game, the history that goes with it, it's the sacred ground. And, you know, for Kurt to be now in the hall with the likes of Otto Graham and Johnny Unitas and Dan Marino and Joe Montana, that's what makes it so special. But it's his personal story that we've never seen anything quite like it. The trials and tribulations of trying to finally make it in the NFL, that is so unique. And you know, his man of faith, Brenda's speech. You're right, Brad. I'm really curious at how she presents.
We had I'm sure you've talked to dozens of people about this lead up to. We had Mike Martz on this last week, Jude, and he gave this antidote about how he kicked him out of a drill intentionally, even though it wasn't Kurt's fault. When he was in St. Louis, he missed a snap, and Mike kicked him off the drill and kicked him out over to the sideline. And after the drill was over, and this was his rookie year there, the entire offensive line came over to apologize to Kurt and said that it was their fault, and that he didn't even flinch about going through that. And you've talked to him, I've talked to him. When I bring up the Giants to him, I refer to it as his scrap heap time, and he gets very offended by that. But it was the donut hole of his career. So when the speech comes about, it's, does he refer to his time with New York? I think he should, and I think he will, for many reasons. There's that side of it. And then who does he acknowledge for grooming him and getting him to where he is, you know, to today? Is there a shout out to Todd Haley? I don't know. You and I both know that situation when Wiz was here and the ups and downs with that. So that's what I'm really looking forward to hearing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think what's interesting is that he even told me a few things when he was at the grocery store. He was telling his colleagues as he's stacking, you know, cans of corn at the Hy-Vee, you know, I'm going to play in the NFL someday. And they go off to the side and they shake their heads and they go, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's with his, you know, it's really unique. I think if Disney did the movie, nobody would believe it. But I am curious because it was Denny Green, the late Denny Green, that said, hey, we need a backup here. And then the gloves. What's also interesting, and we talked about this, is that he reviews the notorious pick six by James Harrison and how the alignment was off between Anquan and Fitz. And then he says he's in the locker room and guys are looking at him, man, you just blew it. You just blew our Super Bowl. And he says, listen, we're going to get back in this game. And then they take the lead late in the fourth with Fitz's touchdown. And I mean, it's really real drama, real life. But I am curious, Ken Whisenhunt making that decision to start over Matt Leinart,
right?
Todd Haley. Kurt will tell you with great confidence, this was my offense with Todd Haley.
Mm-hmm.
He had tremendous control over the play calling. But I do want to see how he acknowledges the notables along the way. And even says, look, I learned my quick release in arena ball.
Right.
I had to get it out quick in that kind of league. And I believe that we were built to score every time. And I took that mentality to the Rams. So it's a fascinating story.
I think he struggled a little bit. You agree with me on this one or not? He struggled a little bit with the post-NFL thing, as a lot of guys do. But I think for him in particular, there just was this I can still play mentality. And, you know, a story like today where Ryan Tannehill may be gone and all of a sudden, you know, is Jay Cutler going to come out of the booth? Is Tony Romo going to come out of the booth? Is Colin Kaepernick going to be signed? A guy like Kurt Warner, I think for the first few years, really struggled with where do I fit in? Where do I go? He did some projects that didn't work out for him, in all fairness. Some TV stuff that didn't work out.
It was the NFL Network that kind of got him back on track. And remember,
right.
There was a point, Brad, there was a point when Ryan Lindley was quarterbacking where he had pondered 5 years away from the game that maybe he started throwing a little bit in the backyard.
Yep.
Maybe I could do this. I mean, you're right. But I think this is great closure for him in such a masterful way. And as I said, when I talked to him very briefly yesterday, he was really, really just humbled by this whole Canton, Ohio experience.
All right, before you get out of here, because I quite frankly don't care about the game tonight. I want to see starters play, and I don't want them to get hurt, so just get me to September. That's just my little rant on this fake football stuff in August. You are a Cleveland and Ohio guy, and Terry Pluto writes that the Suns would be very interested in dealing for Kyrie Irving. That's not breaking news, but he breaks it down that the Cavs would love to get Devin Booker. That's not going to happen. You know that, and I know that. But he lays out T.J. Warren, Eric Bledsoe, draft picks, and Brandon Knight. From what he's hearing on his end, this is in Cleveland today. You know Terry Pluto. You've read Terry Pluto. How much credence do you put into this?
Terry's the writer in Cleveland. Yep. Know him well, known him for years. But beyond that, I can tell you that I know the Rich Paul people. And I'll say this to you. Eric Bledsoe would love to play with LeBron.
Sure.
I don't care what anybody tells me. He would love to play. And LeBron loves what he can do defensively. And as much of a point maker as Kyrie is, it would actually be something they need more of, perimeter defense. I think what's not included in what Terry mentioned is that I think Marquese Chriss, and I know they don't want to get rid of him, and I can understand it because I think he's a really talented young guy and very poised. If you included EB, Marquese Chriss, and a pick or so, that would be very close to what Cleveland would say, let's do this. Question is, would the Suns say, no, we're not going to let go of Chris? I think the Warren, TJ, is a nice complimentary player. But if Cleveland could figure this out and the Suns were willing to part with Chris and Bledsoe, I think you'd have a star player in Phoenix. But that remains to be seen. They're close. They're still talking. They just want the best possible deal.
Yeah, I'd do that deal. I mean, I've sat here and said, look, I don't care if it's Bender and Bledsoe or Chris and Bledsoe. At some point, you can't just – I'm not willing to move Jackson. I'm not willing to move Booker. But Marquese Chriss is a nice player. He's got star potential, but he gets in foul trouble a lot, hasn't controlled his emotions yet, was a foul-a-minute guy up at Washington. I get it. It's a different side of the league, and he may turn out to be something. But this is as close as they've come, Jude, to getting somebody. I mean, realistically getting somebody, in my opinion, here in the last several years. And you've got to push it over the top because if he comes here, you've got him for two more years and he can recruit guys. You got to do this.
Yeah, and he's 25 years old. Yep. I mean, he's in the young mold of that core. So, and this franchise, as much as Devin Booker's a star in development, he's a star that's accomplished with an NBA championship, and I think it excites the fan base.
Sure.
I think you're still testing your fans on the patience of this young core. Irving would be a statement, and quite frankly, it would be the only way they could get a legitimate NBA all-star, because they're not going to get it unless they way, way overpay in free agency. It's the best way to get a star player.
Yeah, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, it's fine to put up banners and billboards, but he just used the Suns. I mean, that's all that was.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you don't, I'm just tired of that stuff. So, safe travels. Enjoy yourself.
And, you know, remember one thing. I think, I'll be very frank here.
I
think, in the end, Aldridge was very cautious about ownership in Robert Sarver. I just didn't – how on earth could he – turn down the Spurs and that history of organizational success. It wasn't going to happen. This is their best chance to get an NBA All-Star in Kyrie Irving. The question is, how aggressive will Ryan McDonough be?
All right. Stay well. See you soon.
You got it, Brett. Thanks.
Thanks,
take
Jude.
Care.
Checking in. Jude LaCava there back in Canton. Pro Football Hall of Fame is tonight. They have this game, but the big story is obviously Kurt Warner. So, Goody at the Movies in about 10 minutes. So on the other side, I want to dive back into that a little bit more on the Kyrie Irving thing, but also get into some baseball with the Diamondbacks. And last night, today, And there's a really good story involving a 15-year-old who signs a pro contract in a sport that may be coming here soon. I'll get to that as we continue on. It is a Thursday. Sports360AZ.com. We have plenty of content up on our website. Pro College, high school college pro. Arizona-centric. Makes no difference to me. And we've been at it almost 6 years. Things that we just see around the great state that we really like bringing you, including the show, day after day. Thanks for being with us. All right, getting the movies here in a few minutes. So Eric has his zone read that is up today on our high school platform. We do pro college high school around the great state, things that we see. And Eric put up his zone read, and his lead item is about a football family over at Queen Creek. Those of you that watch this show or those of you that consume what we do on the website, I would encourage you to read Eric's piece. One, every week. It's really good stuff. Two, it's a football story. You can jump in on this one if you've got some details here, because we're talking about a couple high school kids whose dad got wiped out in a car crash and passed away. And, I mean, they're up against it. There's no other way to put it, right?
Yeah, and it actually it happened during practice, I believe, on Tuesday evening out in Queen Creek. The dad, Gino Coleman, whose sons Dante and Dayson are both players on the Queen Creek football team. One's on JV, and Dante is one of the best linebackers in the valley. And their dad was on his way to work and died in a car accident while the players were on the field.
And this was Tuesday.
Tuesday,
just 2 days ago. So there's a there's an event this Saturday.
Yep, there's a car wash this Saturday out at Queen Creek High School from 7 a.m. to noon in hopes of raising proceeds to help the Colemans during this.
Try to pay for the funeral.
Yeah, and just this. It's yeah, unthinkable tragedy.
Sure, sure. And that's a lead item in as it should be in Eric's notebook. So it's just something. It's at Queen Creek High School. It's this week. And those of you on the media side that watch the show, you know, get your assignment editors out there to help this family out.
And Brad, their head coach, not to interrupt you, their head coach, Travis Sherman, is really involved in the community. He has taken their team out to feed the homeless. When another unthinkable tragedy happened with Todd Heap's daughter,
yep,
they
yep.
rallied around the Heap family
yep.
and did some things to help spread the word on that. And they're grieving right now as a family. So
it's no question. I mean, That's things you look at and you just shake your head. So check that out. So the Diamondbacks play today, and they had one of their most impressive wins in the last month or so last night in taking down the Cubs. This team's teetered the last 5 weeks. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I didn't sit here and do the on June 27th. I did that like a week ago, but like where were they June 27th? Where are they now on August 3rd? They just haven't been a consistent and good-looking ball club for extended stretches here in the last month, in my opinion. You may disagree with me. You may say, well, look what they did here, look what they did there, and I'd probably come up with, well, the competition they played wasn't anything great. The Cubs are really good. Cubs are figuring it out. Jake Arrieta's on the mound. Diamondbacks are really struggling. They had one of their worst showings, if not the worst showing of the year, on Tuesday night in Chicago, where they gave up 15, 16 runs. So last night you have Zach Godley on the mound, who is anything but Zach Greinke. And Zach Godley went 6, and he only allowed 3 hits, and that's all the Cubs would get for the whole game, was just 3 hits for the whole game.
And the Diamondbacks played a clean game.
Yes.
They didn't have any errors. It was just a typical, well-pitched National League game. Had good flow, some timely hits by Jake Lamb. And that's what, I mean, it's not like Jake Arrieta pitched poorly last night.
Right.
Zach Godley was just better.
Well, I think this is a game, like we can go back to the Rodney Blown save in Los Angeles and say that was a turning point of the season, right? Now they're still in the playoff race. They're still in the wild card race. Season didn't come to an end. But when Rodney just absolutely came out with both hands around his neck rather than his glove, and he had a gas can with him and some matches and not his glove, and he just completely blew up in LA. That was one of those moments of the season that you look back on and say, okay, this is where everything could have gone wrong. This is where everything could have gone wrong. And since then, they've kind of just teetered along. They haven't played, I think, the crisp, clean baseball. So they bought him out the other night. Tuesday night was absolute rock bottom for them. Nothing went right at all in any way, shape, or form. So they have every reason against a good Cubs team with Zach Godley on the mound to get whacked around. Well, guess what? Now all of a sudden you have Zach Greinke throwing today, and you can walk out of Chicago winning 2 of 3 and feeling pretty good about yourself as you go into San Francisco against a team that, you know, the Giants always give the Diamondbacks trouble, but the Giants aren't very good this year. So, you know, so again, I bring this up every time Greinke starts, but for $33 million, I need a win today. I mean, that's, and I'm not talking about lifetime of contract. I'm talking about just this year. This is almost $1 million a start guy. I need a really good start today in Chicago. I don't care if Quintana's throwing for the Cubs. I don't care. I've got my big gun. I've got my big horse. You win 2 of 3. You feel very good about it. Keep an eye on that today. And one last story. I put up a notebook yesterday about Rising FC and the MLS pursuit here in Phoenix. And two of their owners, one of them reached back to me and said that both of the owners want to talk to me today off the air about things, which will be fun. And because I'm sure there'll be some things that come out of it. The league meetings were yesterday. And Rising FC is in an interesting spot right now. In the next 5 months, I think the ownership group of the MLS is going to try to jack up the price tag on this team. And there's some market changes that are shifting behind the scenes that could impact Rising FC's ability to come up with a franchise fee. I'm not going to get specifics about that stuff. It's just some things that I see. And Galaxy 2 signed a 15-year-old out of L.A. He's going to be here in a couple weeks, 45 days after his 15th birthday. He's only a sophomore in high school. He's playing on a U18 team. He's only 15 years of age. Efren Alvarez. We're going to see him here in a few weeks. I'll look forward to that. All right, Good Eat the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, and it's time to get you ready for the movies as we do every Thursday. It's Bill Goody Kuntz, Goody at the Movies, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. How are you, Bill? How's things going?
I'm good.
Good, good. Let's get right into this. Detroit comes out, and this looks like a movie that is going to make you think. It's going to try to move you. Was Detroit very good, any good in your opinion?
I thought it was very good. It was a certainly intense, a very intense movie that is not always easy to watch or to look at, you know, because it's pretty brutal in places. But it's also really timely. I mean, some of this stuff you can't help but be reminded of body cam footage and you know, and sort of stuff that we see all the time now.
And this is one that is showing, is there fact and fiction in this one, Bill, that you're looking at and saying there's some things here that are taken for granted by Hollywood? Or how factual is it?
Well, it's based on, I mean, there's the key thing, there's been a lot of, that's never really been settled exactly what happened. So it's based on a lot of some stuff that people, their memories and some stuff that's written down. But what has happened is the names of the victims are all real, and then the names of the cops and the other people are sort of the composites of some people. So those names aren't real. But it's Catherine Bigelow, who of course made Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker, and I mean she is great, like putting you in the middle of chaos and sort of trying to figure out what happened, and she's a terrific director. So I very much recommend it, but don't go thinking you're going to have a great time at the movie.
All right, that is Detroit. Let's move off of that one. The story that is coming out this weekend on the movies is The Dark Tower. The Dark Tower, Bill, is, from what I've just read from afar, mixed at best. Where are you at on The Dark Tower?
As Donald Trump would say, there's no mix.
That's good.
It stinks. It's horrible. It's a mess, and it's clearly it took them 10 years to make it. It's botched. I mean, you can tell that it took it's got really great talent. You know, Idris Elba and Matthew McConaughey, and it's just it doesn't make any sense. It's just all over the place. This thing should have been. It's based on 8 novels and any number of other stories and stuff. And it's only 93 minutes long. I mean, you know, it's just not going to make sense.
So
it is, and it's not bad in a fun way either. It's bad in that way that like, It reminds me of like when the Cardinals used to be terrible and lose all the time. It wasn't because they lost that was so bad. It was like the way they lost. It was just boring. And, you know, it's like this is sort of like that. It's not even bad in an interesting way. It's just a rotten movie.
Other than that, it's, you know, go out there and knock yourself out. You don't use the word rotten very much, Bill. So
this is bad.
Some Freaks is coming out. Tell me about this one.
Now, I like this movie quite a bit. It's about these three kids in high school. One guy has one eye. He's tormented and teased and bullied. His best friend, his only friend, is a closeted gay guy who is afraid to do anything about it and sort of lashes out with homophobia to sort of mask it. And then his aunt, who is the same age as these kids are, comes there, and she's really overweight. And they end up being, you know, kind of friends and stuff, and boyfriend and girlfriend, the one-eyed guy and the overweight girl. But they, what's pretty cool about it is it's not just like your typical, you know, oh, everything goes well. What's different about this is after 6 months we see them, after like they've gone to college and stuff, and there's some real physical changes in some of the people. And while you would think it would make things better, it doesn't necessarily. It's really kind of thoughtful, but that's pretty brutal too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in there that's, you know, the teasing and stuff is kind of hard to watch, but I liked it.
And it's over at Valley Art. The title could scare some people away, I think.
Yeah, I don't know about this, but it'll make sense if you see the movie. Any excuse to go to Valley Art, I like. I like that theater. That's probably my favorite theater in town.
All right, so from there we go to, that's Some Freaks. So now let's go to The Midwife. The Midwife, how was that?
The Midwife is cool. It's a French movie. It's at Camel View, and it is about a midwife. And she is. This is about as French a movie as it can get. She has sort of a boring life, but she likes it. And she is. She's visited or called by her father's former mistress, who she hasn't heard from in 30 years.
Mm.
But they were friends because they're French. They were all friends and lived together and everything. But now the mistress is dying of brain cancer, and Catherine Deneuve is the mistress, and she shows up, and she you know, she kind of makes life complicated for everybody, and they end up, you know, just again, it's not cliche. They don't necessarily end up being best friends or anything, but they, you know, it's very. I think it's really good, and the acting is terrific.
So of the weekend movies, okay, we just went through four of them, just zipped right through four of them. I'm trying to parse which one you would recommend most of the four from this weekend.
I think Detroit probably is the one that everybody ought to see. Mm-hmm. But I kind of hope that some people go to see The Dark Tower just so that I have somebody to commiserate with.
You're not expecting much from that.
When
is the I was going to ask you. So Death Wish is going to be remade. I saw that this morning. The Charles Bronson class, is that one that you're looking forward to seeing being remade? Death Wish?
I didn't care that much about the original one. I was not like the biggest Charles Bronson fan.
Yeah. Those were those 70 movies, you know, where they drive around the Pinto runabout and they got their bell bottoms on chasing guys. So I saw that one. I was like, wow, they're going to remake anything. Death Wish. Jeez.
Well, I know. It's like at some point, you know, it's what's left? I mean, I'm really looking forward to, you know, I don't know. You know, actually, one I would like to see remade maybe is Car Wash, but I love that movie. but they'll redo anything.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thanks.
See ya. There's Bill Goodykins. Good Eat the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill Goodykins, chief film critic for Gannett and AZ Central. All right. So tonight or today, actually, we have baseball. We have day baseball with the Diamondbacks. And then tonight, if you're into watching the Cardinals game, it is preseason football. And if you're going to ask, why is there no Carson Palmer and no David Johnson and no Larry Fitzgerald, just be happy they're not playing because these games do not matter in any way, shape, or form. Your heroes will be playing in six more weeks in games that matter. So just have them sit over to the side. Edwin Rodriguez, our chairman of the board today, overseen by Jared Nielsen and Eric Sorensen, as always, produces. There's plenty of content over on our website that you can check out right now at sports360az.com sports360az.com. We partner with AZ Central Sports. Appreciate their partnership. And as always, support those that are supporting us. We do this, we're self-funded with sponsors that say, hey, look, we believe in what you're doing. So please support those sponsors as you see them as they pop up on your screen. Make sure you enjoy your day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.